Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
The Howl in the Pines. My old Ford pickup truck rattled along with the uneven gravel road, and with every jolt, a shiver coursed through my body, setting my nerves on edge. The fractured sunlight was filtered by the thick canopy of ancient pines, casting dappled patterns on the winding paths, while the forest faded in and out of light and shadow. I found myself stranded in a small town named Blackwood, a name that felt like it belonged in a gothic novel. My Uncle Samuel resided here. He was my mother's reclusive brother, a man I had only seen during family funerals. He had sent me an unexpected invitation to spend some time with him following my recent career setback. "I've heard you've been going through some tough times, Ethan. Come and stay with me. Your mother thought the peace might do you some good." My uncle's handwriting was spidery and precise, and calling it quiet was a significant understatement. This town felt like the edge of the world. As I drove through the main part of Blackwood, it appeared to be little more than a collection of crumbling buildings and a dilapidated general store that seemed to have avoided a fresh coat of paint since the Great Depression. As I passed by, I noticed a sign that read, "Welcome to Blackwood, established 1888. Naturally, there was no cell service, just the whispering trees and an overwhelming, oppressive silence. I discovered that my uncle's house was a mile outside of town, tucked deep within the woods. As I navigated a long dirt driveway, I finally spotted the house. It was a gaunt, two-story structure with a perpetually dark porch, resembling more of a horror movie set than a home. I noticed my Uncle Samuel standing at the front porch, waving at me. His face was marked by years of sun and solitude, and his eyes seemed to harbor a bottomless well of secrets. I parked the truck and let out a soft sigh before grabbing my bag, stepping out, and making my way to my uncle, who greeted me with a terse welcome and a firm handshake that felt like grasping a knot of old rope. Then he offered to show me where I would be staying. I trailed behind my Uncle Samuel as he guided me through the house, sharing stories about the history of Blackwood and describing what the town was like. Before long, we made our way upstairs, and he brought me to a room. When he opened the door, I peered inside, and my heart sank immediately. Inside, there was just a bed, a drawer, a lamp for nighttime illumination, and a closet. My room is down the hall, and the bathroom is directly across from yours, so if you need to go during the night, you'll know where to find it. My Uncle Samuel explained. He then mentioned that I could unpack my belongings, and that he would just be downstairs preparing dinner, since I was likely hungry after my 10-hour drive. I simply didn't want to bring it up. As I entered the room with my bag, I placed it on the floor and let out a soft sigh before starting to unpack everything I had prepared for this dreadful stay. I took my phone out of my pocket and rolled my eyes. It felt like I was carrying a useless hunk of metal or plastic, since there was no cell service available. Just as I was about to hurl my phone across the room, I heard my Uncle Samuel calling for me to come downstairs for dinner. I tossed my phone onto the bed and made my way downstairs to the living room, where I noticed a large pot sitting next to a basket full of biscuits, and my uncle was at the table, smiling. Soon, I joined him, and in front of me was a steaming bowl of venison stew, which I learned was just deer meat, something I didn't know people actually ate. We both sat there, just eating. I didn't feel like talking at all. I didn't even want to be there. This was all my uncle's and mom's idea. Then my Uncle Samuel cleared his throat, which made me glance at him with a suspicious expression. You might not be aware, but animals have been acting strangely lately. For the past couple of weeks, Mr. Hemlock's sheep were killed, likely by wolves. We have them around here quite often. Uncle Samuel explained. I remained silent about it, continuing to eat while trying to appear concerned, even though I wasn't particularly worried. The thought of wild wolves didn't intrigue me. I was from the city, after all, but what did I know? A week passed in a blur of forced politeness and discomfort because Uncle Samuel is a man of few words. He often vanishes into the woods behind the house and returns late, smelling of earth and something else, wild and musky. At night, the forest comes alive with sounds I can't identify. Twigs snapping, the rustling of unseen creatures, and then the loud howling. It was a deep, resonant sound that didn't resemble a coyote or a dog. It was too powerful. Whenever I brought it up, without even glancing up from his book or diverting his attention from whatever he was doing, my uncle would say, "That's just the wind, Ethan." One day, I decided to take a walk since it was the only thing to do, and I heard whispers around town. Not only has the livestock been killed, but Mrs. Gabriel's prize-winning dog was found torn apart near the creek. I was chatting with old Mr. Hemlock, the only resident I had managed to converse with, and I noticed his eyes were wide and filled with fear when I recounted what had happened.
"It wasn't wolves. It was too clean, too brutal, in the tracks near the body."
Mr. Hemlock trailed off, shaking his head. After my conversation with Mr. Hemlock, I felt compelled to head down to the creek, driven by a dark curiosity. I recalled the path Uncle Samuel had taken me on during our fishing trips. Upon arrival, the creek appeared ordinary at first glance, but then I spotted it. Mrs. Gabriel's dog, or what was left of it. The area surrounding its remains looked disturbed, as if it had fought against something before its demise. Before long, I stumbled upon the tracks Mr. Hemlock had mentioned. They were massive, far too large to be a typical wolf or coyote I've ever encountered. What was even more unsettling was that the tracks bore a resemblance to a human footprint, albeit mixed with distinct claw marks, sending chills down my spine. When I recounted the events to Uncle Samuel, he became increasingly restless. He would pace the house at night, and I would often hear him muttering to himself from his bedroom while I was in mine.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Eventually, he began leaving the house earlier in the evening, returning well past midnight. I noticed that his eyes seemed to glow faintly in the dim light whenever he came back. One morning, I woke up, stretched, and made my way downstairs. The aroma of coffee filled the air, but there was no sign of Uncle Samuel. As I entered the kitchen, I realized he was absent, but I found a note on the counter. It stated that Uncle Samuel had gone to a small store to pick up a few items. I also noticed his morning newspaper lying on the counter and decided to check the news from Blackwood. The headline reported that, following a series of mysterious animal deaths, the first human victim had emerged. Judadiah Miller, a well-known local trapper with a notorious temper and a penchant for whiskey, had vanished while hunting for deer the previous night. 2 days later, the entire town assembled in the square to discuss Judadiah. Armed with hunting rifles, I felt compelled to assist them. This was despite Uncle Samuel's warning to stay close to home, as the woods remained perilous. However, I was determined to help the town search for that man. And on the third day of our search for Jedediah, we finally located him. A small group of us pushed through some bushes, and there he laid. Or rather, what was left of him, as his body was so mangled that it was unrecognizable. The sight of Jedediah's remains made my stomach churn. Some of the women screamed or gasped in horror, and I stepped away, battling the nausea rising in my throat. It appeared as if something or someone had thrown him into a meat grinder. Following that, the entire town of Blackwood descended into chaos, and a curfew was enforced. No one dared to venture out after dark, and fear loomed in the air like a toxic cloud. We convened at the general store with the local police and sheriff, a man who always seemed overwhelmed.
We examined all the clues and scrutinized the body for evidence, concluding it was a rogue grizzly bear that must have come down from the mountains to attack Jedediah.
The sheriff informed everyone. Instantly, no one accepted his explanation. The tracks discovered near Jedediah's remains were unlike any bear prints. They were large with large toes, and there was always that unsettling impression of a bear splayed foot resembling the tracks I had seen when I encountered Mrs. Gabriel's dog. A month later, I found myself still in Blackwood, but a tight knot of suspicion was forming in my stomach regarding my Uncle Samuel's odd behavior. He would always leave at night despite the curfew, and there was that unsettling smell, along with the almost animalistic intensity in his eyes. And those dreadful howls. Out of the blue, I decided to dig deeper into what was happening. So I hurried back to that dreadful crime scene where the man's body had been discovered, hoping to uncover more clues. Upon my arrival, I saw Mr. Hemlock standing there, and I realized that Jedediah's body was missing. Perhaps they had taken it away to search for additional evidence. However, all the peculiar tracks remained, and when the old man spotted me, he turned around abruptly as if he had caught himself in a wrongdoing.
"The creature that attacked Jedediah wasn't a bear or a wolf," Mr. Hemlock stated quietly.
I stared at him in confusion, crossing my arms, feeling as if this man's mind had just shattered like a nut.
"Then what happened to him?" I inquired.
"I know it sounds insane, and I've been sharing this with people for years, but it was a werewolf that killed my sheep. I've told everyone, and they just think I've lost my mind,"
Mr. Hemlock mumbled. My jaw dropped in disbelief and astonishment. I felt like laughing, but I didn't want to offend him, so I pressed on with more questions about the entire situation.
"When you mention werewolf, are you referring to those large, muscular creatures that are actually humans who transform during a full moon?" I asked him.
"Well, actually, young man, while it is true that a werewolf can change during a full moon, they could also transform on any night if their primal instincts overpower their human nature. It's the books and movies that lead you to believe it's only during a full moon that werewolves change,"
Mr. Hemlock clarified. I then asked him if there was a way to identify a werewolf, and if there was a method to stop them. But Mr. Hemlock simply shook his head in response.
"Hey, what on earth are you two doing near the crime scene?"
a voice yelled at us. I turned around to see the town sheriff approaching with a police officer trailing behind him, both looking quite displeased.
"Remember during the meeting when we mentioned it wasn't a bear? I'm telling you, a werewolf is responsible for this, Brody, and we both know it,"
Mr. Hemlock shouted.
"Oh my god, not this again. I told you, Mr. Hemlock, your werewolf tale is nearly as absurd as my bear story. And what are you doing here, young man?"
the sheriff asked, directing his gaze at me. I explained that I wanted to return to the crime scene to search for clues to understand what was happening to this town. And then I realized I had something else to add.
"Look, sir, the tracks found near Jedediah's body are identical to those I discovered near the animal's body, and I believe that they were both attacked by the same creature," I explained. The sheriff raised his hand, remaining silent as he glanced at the other officer, who stepped forward, clearing his throat, and looked at me and Mr. Hemlock.
"I regret to inform you that if you two do not vacate this crime scene immediately, I will have to arrest you both," he stated.
"Arrest me? I haven't done anything wrong,"
Mr. Hemlock shouted in frustration. I quickly nodded and said my goodbyes. I was here to visit and spend time with my uncle, not to end up in jail in Blackwood, which didn't even have a jail. As I started walking back to town, I could hear Mr. Hemlock arguing with the sheriff and the other police officer. It seemed he was determined to convince someone else of his werewolf story. When I returned home, Uncle Samuel was in the living room, engrossed in a book. As I entered through the front door, he glanced up and noticed the anxiety on my face.
"What happened?" he inquired.
I revisited the crime scene of that man who was attacked to search for clues and encountered Mr. Hemlock, the man whose sheep were killed. He shared a lengthy story with me, and then the sheriff arrived with the police, and we nearly got arrested, I recounted. As soon as I finished speaking, Uncle Samuel slammed his book down, and it was clear he was displeased with my revelation.
"I thought that I instructed you to stay near the house and avoid the woods. I don't want those wolves or any other dreadful creatures after you. I certainly don't want to have to send you back to your mother in a police evidence box," Uncle Samuel said.
"Then stop deceiving me and tell me what truly killed those animals and that man. If it wasn't a bear, as the sheriff has claimed, then what could it possibly be?" I retorted.
"I've already told you it was likely wolves or coyotes. They're prevalent in this area. Now go upstairs and prepare for dinner,"
Uncle Samuel said as he picked up his book. I opened my mouth to protest, but Uncle Samuel pointed towards the stairs, prompting me to mutter a curse under my breath. Nevertheless, I complied with his request. Then, one night, I could no longer tolerate my uncle's peculiar actions, so I waited until he slipped out of the back door and quietly followed him.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
As I gazed up at the night sky, I noticed the moon was fully illuminated and had a silver hue, casting a brighter light over the forest, yet creating a maze of ancient shadows. I moved as swiftly and silently as possible, my heartbeat pounding in my ears as I trailed Uncle Samuel's footsteps. We ventured deeper into the woods than I had ever gone before, passing by gnarled trees and pushing through thick underbrush. After an hour of walking, I spotted a clearing ahead. With the full moon shining unobstructed, its light poured down into the clearing. So I crept closer, concealing myself behind a massive oak tree. What I witnessed made my breath hitch in my throat. Standing in the center of the moonlight was Uncle Samuel. But he was not quite Uncle Samuel. My uncle was undergoing a transformation. I noticed his clothing lying on the ground like discarded rags, and I observed as his skin stretched and tore, becoming covered in coarse dark fur. With every movement, his bones shifted with a sickening crack, his limbs elongating, and his hands morphed into claws. His face twisted grotesquely, the mouth evolving into a ravenous maw, while his eyes glowed with an unnatural intensity. He gazed up at the sky, and the howl that erupted from his throat sent chills down my spine. Then came another sound, one of raw power and insatiable hunger, which chilled me to my very core. Those were the howls I had been hearing each night, the very sounds Uncle Samuel had dismissed as mere coyotes. But it was clear now. He was a creature of the night, a werewolf, and I sickly realized that Mr. Hemlock was right about the werewolf having killed those animals and that innocent man. I stumbled backward, tripping over a tree root, and a terrified noise escaped my lips. Before I could react, the werewolf form of my Uncle Samuel's alter ego froze in place. It began to sniff the air, then suddenly turned its head in my direction, as it had heard me. Panic surged through me as I scrambled to my feet and fled in blind terror, crashing through the underbrush, branches clawing at my face. But I could hear the werewolf, my Uncle Samuel, pursuing me, its heavy paws pounding the ground and its ragged snarls echoing behind me. I kept running until my lungs felt like they were on fire and my legs threatened to give out. I had to reach the house. That was my only hope. I finally arrived at my Uncle Samuel's house and bursted through the door. I slammed it shut behind me, fumbled with the lock, and leaned against the door, breathing heavily as tears streamed down my face. My Uncle Samuel was a monster. The man who had invited me to stay here in Blackwood was a killer. A low growl resonated through the floorboards. He was outside. I could hear him pacing, his heavy breaths, and the occasional scratching of claws against the wood of the porch. "Uncle Samuel, what have you done to Blackwood?" I shouted, my voice cracking with fear. I heard his growl intensifying, then a low, deep, guttural voice rumbled from behind the door, stretched and distorted.
"What I've done, no, Ethan, my boy. It is what must be done,"
Uncle Samuel said in that deep, guttural tone. Suddenly, there was a violent crash against the door that made me jump back in terror. The wood was splintering as he tried to break in. I scanned the room, desperately searching for a way out, but there was no escape, and all the windows were too small to climb through. Another crash, and the door bursted inwards, ripping from its hinges. In the doorway stood the werewolf, with dark black fur massive claws and eyes glowing with a primal light. It wasn't my Uncle Samuel. It was a nightmare. The werewolf crawled towards me on all fours, moving slowly, its drooling mouth opening just wide enough for me to glimpse a row of razor-sharp teeth. My heart raced in my chest, a frantic beat against my ribs. I seized a fire poker, the nearest object and my only means of defense, but my hands shook uncontrollably.
"Uncle Samuel, please!"
I begged him, freaking out for my life. The werewolf halted a few feet away from me, its head tilted as if it was listening. Then, slowly and horrifyingly, the transformation began to reverse. The dark fur vanished, the limbs shrank back, and the monstrous face contorted into the familiar gaunt features of my Uncle Samuel. He collapsed to the ground, clawed only in his boxer briefs, panting heavily, sweat glistening on his pale skin.
"Ethan, I'm sorry, but I tried to prepare you,"
he gasped in a faint voice. My Uncle Samuel looked up at me, his eyes still holding a hint of that wild glow as they locked onto mine.
"Prepare me for what?"
I inquired, still gripping the fire poker as if it was a protective barrier. Uncle Samuel pushed himself off the ground, leaning against the wall, panting heavily, blood smearing across his face and body.
"The curse, Ethan. It's part of our bloodline, coursing through every male in our family. I inherited it from your grandfather, and now it's your turn,"
Uncle Samuel revealed.
No, that's absurd,"
I said, my heart racing.
"That's the reason I brought you here. It's why the attack started. The beast, it craves sustenance. It needs to be awakened within you. I wasn't merely killing out of hunger, Ethan. I was paving the way, weakening the town, making it simple for you when the transformation arrives. It was time for the transfer, for you to assume the mantle,"
Uncle Samuel clarified. Suddenly, he coughed a wet, rattling noise, and then he expelled blood and black sludge onto the floor. I stared at Uncle Samuel, my mind spinning. The attacks, the fear, everything was a distorted rite of passage. Then, an intense, blinding pain surged through my left arm. I screamed, dropping the poker. My muscles convulsed, bones grinding against each other. My skin felt taut, stretched, as if something was trying to break free from inside. A wave of heat engulfed me, followed by a bone-chilling cold that made my teeth chatter. I glanced down at my hand. It was transforming. My fingers grew longer, thickening, nails extending and hardening into dark, sharp claws. Coarse, dark hair began to sprout from the back of my hand, rapidly spreading up my arm.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Uncle Samuel merely observed me, a grim, knowing expression in his eyes. Yet there was also a fleeting sense of relief.
It's beginning. You'll feel it in your bones. The hunger. The power. Now you must embrace it, Ethan. You are no longer merely a man.
Uncle Samuel murmured, a faint, almost satisfied smile bracing his lips. Uncle Samuel grinned at me while I clutched my chest, feeling sweat trickle down my forehead and goosebumps prickling my skin. The sensation coursing through me was unlike any pain I had ever experienced before. Before long, the agony intensified, spreading throughout my whole body, tearing at me, and I shut my eyes, squeezing them shut tightly. A deep, guttural growl erupted from my throat, a sound so alien to me. Suddenly, my senses sharpened. I could detect the scent of pine trees and the moist earth flooding my nostrils with crazy clarity. The distant rustling of trees and the calls of nocturnal creatures resonated like a roar, nearly causing my eardrums to burst. My teeth began to throb and twist painfully as my new predatory fangs forced their way through my gums. And then, all at once, the pain ceased. When I reopened my eyes, I scanned my surroundings and realized that the world looked sharper, with colors that were more vibrant than ever. I turned my gaze to Uncle Samuel, and for the first time, I perceived him not as a beaten old man, but as a fellow predator, finally free from his chains. Next, I caught sight of my altered hands, with clawed fingers and the rough, dark black fur that was beginning to cover my body, and I felt a rush of excitement. Let's just say that folks began to realize that twice as many animals are being slaughtered, and even more individuals who ventured into the woods at night after curfew were now turning up, just like Jedediah. The howling was now even louder and more ferocious than before, and this time it was much closer to the town of Blackwood. But now, it wasn't my Uncle Samuel who was howling or taking lives anymore. It was me. For the first time in my life, I found it hard to tell whether it was devastating or incredible that I could now pursue something different with my existence.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.